Welcome back to the Chasing Common Ground podcast. I'm going to be doing, most likely, a series of solo episodes as I ramp things up and prepare for some guests. I'm facilitating with some schedules, and I wanted to basically batch record some episodes. So for this one, I'm going to be going through a series of questions that come up from time to time, whether it be through Instagram or whether it be through conversations that I have offline, and just going to be giving my honest response. So I've got the laptop out. If you're watching me on YouTube, you'll be able to see the video version that way. Or if you are watching me on Substack, you can also watch the video version there as well. First and foremost, the question that I got asked first is, how do you think physical fitness influences mental resilience? So I think that sometimes people underestimate the amount of bounce back that they can get in their life, in their career, in their personal life by having some kind of like a physical regimen. It doesn't have to be super intense. The thing is that society has moved in a direction where it's not always normal for people to go on daily walks. Like, going on daily walks is actually pretty intense for a lot of people. And so if we factor that in, if going for a walk every day happened to be intense for your lifestyle, and we zoom out, that would in turn mean that you are not very active. And the outcome of this sedentary, inactive lifestyle often results in almost feeling more of a mental load in the things that may have not had such an impact on you if you were acclimated to going on walks, lifting things up, doing chores, whatever it is that gets you physically active, even if it's a Zumba class, just something where you're breaking a sweat, having fun, being around friends, pushing it a little bit. So I think that in this day and age, in the age of convenience, in the age of information overload, where we can almost get consumed by our phone, regardless of our age, lots of people who are like in their 60s, 70s, who are looking at phones these days, and it's amazing how it just draws you in, and then all of a sudden, you have only gotten 560 steps in the day, and so you're not going to be as resilient as you would be if you were out there chopping wood and throwing it on the truck or whatever it is that makes you feel like you're physically active. So what I would say is, I think it's important for everybody, regardless of the hobbies that they have, the personality that they have, the age they are, you should have something that draws you into being active. I think the community is a huge part of that. I think the accountability is a huge part of that. So whatever that looks like for you, whether you decide to get a coach simply for the accountability factor, that's what a lot of my clients do, or maybe you just join a group. Maybe you join Orange Theory, or you join Jiu-Jitsu. Highly recommend. Regardless of what age or gender you are, you should try out Jiu-Jitsu. Maybe you join a pickleball club. What I will say about pickleball is you probably at least get your steps up. I mean, you should get your steps up for all these activities, but some people just think that they can just get off the couch and go play pickleball. You do have to be a bit more active. And this comes from somebody who has simply observed what happens when people fudge around and find out. I'm just putting that expression in there just in case my dad's listening. But nonetheless, we're going to move on to the next question here. So the question is, can you share a story where overcoming a physical challenge led to a significant personal breakthrough? I got a lot of stories for this, but I'm going to pull one from jiu-jitsu, I think. And I think it's sort of like that moment of clarity when you realize, like, sometimes you want certain things in your life enough that you have a tolerance for the difficulties that it brings. So, And I think this is a common theme that can come up for a lot of things in life. I think that a lot of our friends and our family, we love them to death. But there's going to be points where we don't quite agree on something, or there's going to be points that require extra patience. There's going to be points where they need more from us than what we have to offer, but we're just going to give that much because we know that in the long run, it's important. And so with regards to what I'm going to share, there was a point where I had an injury that like made it difficult to get out of bed in the morning. Like it was, I bruised my rib or something. Like I didn't go and get it checked out, but it was pretty painful. I didn't feel anything like was loose or broken, so I assume it was a bruise or something like that. And there's many times when I was like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I going to this thing that hurts? Why am I continuing to like push myself in something that doesn't feel validating in this moment? Like, you're going to the class, you're terrible at the class, get injured at the class, you're not progressing in the class, and you're in pain. It affects everything else in your life. And I think where I had the breakthrough was I just kind of realized, like, I have done difficult things in my life, and I will probably have to continue to do difficult things. And the thing that will set me apart is my attitude during these times. And so I just figured out what I had to do to get as good of sleep as I could. And I figured out what I had to do to manage the pain. And I figured out what I had to do to eliminate this from happening again. It influenced me to strength train more and in different ways. I did back extensions. I used the crunch machine. I hadn't previously been doing that so much. I started adding rotations to some of my dumbbell exercises or cable exercises. And it definitely led to a breakthrough because I'm still doing jiu-jitsu and I don't feel like I get beat up quite as much, although injuries do come up. But I think this goes back to the whole thing that you do have to have some characteristics of resilience. You do have to be able to stick it out. You got to be with your activities, with your people through thick and thin, because otherwise you get nowhere and you keep stopping and having to start over again. So that would be the personal breakthrough that I achieved in that moment. And that brings us to another question here. This next question is, in what ways do you think discipline and fitness translates to other areas of life? It's like a straight crossover. I use this story often, and so hopefully I don't say it too often. But I think where fitness gave me the most pronounced aha moment was when I realized if I just do the same thing over and over and over and over, day in, day out, whether I'm feeling it or not, I can progress. And I could do that with my career too. Even if the odds were against me, if I just kept doing it day in and day out, whether I was succeeding or failing, just kept doing it, then I could progress. So the example is when I went to spin classes, I committed myself. I was just going to go every single day, whether it was practical or not, whether I knew anybody or not, whether I felt like it or not, whether I had enough sleep or not. It became like a religion for me for a period of time. Like if I missed a class, it would be upsetting. I sprinted down White Ave after having like a toe surgery. I got the surgery with the ingrown toenail thing. My toe was looking pretty nasty, I'll be honest. But having completed that surgery, I ran to the class. Like everything was all healed up and good to go and whatnot. But it was still pretty painful. And I was running late. And they let me in the last split second. And that's how dedicated I was to that class. And it's just like, to look back on it, like my priorities have shifted. I don't think I'd sprint for a spin class anymore. I wouldn't sprint for a lot of things. But it reframed for me that if you want something, go get it. And this was in a phase of my life when I still hadn't taken the risk that it took to be in the fitness industry. I was still dwelling on the fact that people weren't giving me a chance, or that I wasn't good enough, or that I just needed one more opportunity or something. I was just waiting for this thing. And through pursuing that fitness modality, through pursuing that relentless routine regime of doing it day in and day out, I saw how it helped. It just made me think, okay, well, I want to be a trainer, and this place isn't working out, that place isn't working out, this place isn't working out. But if you just keep showing up and doing trainer things and asking trainer questions, you're going to be a trainer eventually, even if you have to get creative and do a group fitness class in a bar at 11 a.m. So that is just how it has translated for me. And it translates in the way that I show up for people I care about. Even if I'm tired, I'll show up. Even if it's like I gotta do Zoom calls in the parking lot, I'll show up. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think a lot of people can get more out of life if they learn the lessons in fitness and then transpose it into the rest of their life, their career, their personal life, etc. So the next question is, how does nutrition play a role in emotional and mental health based on your experience? It's going to be a simple answer. And I'm going to say, in a lot of cases, if you don't have the foundation of your nutrition in check, so if you're just not looking at anything, it's a higher likelihood that you're going to be more sensitive to the ups and downs of life. So if you're just like, what's for supper? Just go pick something up, and you don't know how much protein is in that, or you aren't really sure if you're having enough fiber or not, or you're not sure if you're hydrated. Like, there's so many things that are up in the air that people get used to because they kind of fall complacent to that sort of like, is what it is lifestyle, where it's like they are just riding the magic carpet through the convenience land and they are just doing whatever comes their way. There's no intention. There is no context. It's just, that looks good, I'll have that. So where nutrition plays a role is if you start to learn about the value of good nutrition and how it can have an impact on your body. If someone simply aims to get closer to their protein goal, and when I refer to a protein goal, I'm generally putting you in that target of grams per pound of body weight, or in some cases, it may be like 0.7 grams per body weight, per pound of body weight. And so for a 200-pound person, they'd probably be looking to get 200 grams of protein. For a 110-pound person, 110 grams of protein. And if they happen to get 150 grams of protein, no harm, no foul. They're probably going to be making very conscious, very good decisions with their nutrition, just simply because it's going to influence the serving sizes of certain foods, is going to influence the calories of the dish, because you simply cannot get that many grams of protein from like the calorie dense foods unless you are just crushing a bunch of yummy tasting protein bars to get your however many grams, because those protein bars, they can be great, but they can also be 300 calories per bar depending on which brand you go with. But that is not to say that you shouldn't have them. It's just like anything, it's moderation. So when you're gearing up for your nutrition, what I often say is the best thing you could do is to learn to cook, to learn to basically build out your grocery list, learn the recipes that would get you that amount of protein per meal. So let's say the goal was 200. You'd probably be building 3 meals and 1 snack, each of those meals with 50 grams of protein within the dish, and that snack would have 50 grams of protein. And you may be asking, how the heck am I going to do that? Well, it could be as simple as a protein shake. Maybe you put 2 scoops of 30 gram per scoop protein into the water in the bottle, shake it up, tastes like thick chocolate milk or whatever flavor you choose, and that gets you 60 grams, easy peasy. perhaps you cut that in half, just the one scoop. It's a brand of protein that gives you 30 per scoop, or maybe it's a 25 scoop and you just add a little extra, bump it up to 30, you got your 30 grams, and you have a couple pepperoni sticks and you're good to go. So it's just things like that where you get creative. You could have Greek yogurt. You could mix protein powder into your oatmeal. You could have boiled eggs. I've been telling people to cook up chicken and just season it up and have it as a snack. So anything that works for you, but it's just a matter of proper planning and where you might be wondering how it plays a role in emotional and mental health. I find that if the body is performing well, the mind follows suit. So if you are 80% of the time choosing nutrition that's in your body's best interests, which generally is hitting that protein target, getting adequate fiber, fiber being from things like whole grains or legumes, lentils, beans, eating adequate vegetables, understanding that a fiber target is great, but overdoing it on fiber is also something to be considerate of, and it's going to be varied from person to person. So sometimes it's like some people tolerate fiber really well, some people a little bit less. In most cases, across the board, if you're eating out a lot, like if all of your meals are ordered through a drive-through or at the keg, you're probably not getting the right ratio of fiber to the rest of your macronutrients. Just as far as scalability goes. So you probably do have an upset stomach, etc. The other thing that I've seen pop up that I think is great advice is when you're choosing your vegetables, choosing a variety of colors in your vegetables can just simply help with how your digestion system functions. And it's just a very general good idea. Because if nothing else, it makes your food more interesting. It makes it feel like you're not in jail. So we got another question here. This next one is, what's a common misconception about diet and mood that you like to debunk? And I think I'm going to go very simple on this one. There's so many people that... Very simple, but I'm going to be a little bit direct on this one now that I think about it. Misconceptions, diets. Here we go. One of the things that aggravates me is when I come across a person that 80% of the things that they do in their life are not in line with what they say that their goals are. They're like, I'm on a health kick. I'm going to completely transform everything. And then they come out with this like branded supplement. Like let's say they're trying like the keto diet and they got these keto bars. But then you turn around and you look back and they're eating chips. And they're eating so many chips that they're sitting on the couch and they've created this divot in the couch. And they've ruined the couch forever. Now you may be wondering, where is this emotion and passion coming from, Chris? Well, I will not tell you, but this is based on a true story. Needless to say, there are so many fad diets out there that do not need to exist. The carnivore diet doesn't need to exist. There are things, when implemented properly, are great. Like there are people who are able to follow certain variations of diets in a way that is constructive for them. But for the general population, I think the low-hanging fruit is to get you close to your protein goal and get you eating some vegetables. Do that consistently for at least 12 weeks, ideally longer. Be mindful of what it is that you're eating in the sense that you actually know what went into your meals, you know portions, you know how to measure portions, you know how to cook, you know the calories of your meals so you can achieve your desired energy balance, whether that is you're in a calorie surplus, calorie deficit, or maintenance, just understanding the numbers behind things, not to obsess about it, just to have the education behind it. Because a lot of people, they'll have like a whole glass of like some soft drink that's like sweetened with sugar or whatever. And I'm not demonizing sugar or aspartame or sucralose or any of that stuff or stevia. The bigger thing is that when you think about a liquid, let's take coffee, for example, There's coffee and there's coffee. One coffee is just black coffee. The other coffee is some like caramel macchiato that's like 600 calories for a cup. And you don't think about that too much when you're having a liquid. You're not like, oh man, this really tastes like 600 calories. But if you have a donut, that might taste like 600 calories, but just the coffee doesn't. And so it's just very deceptive when you're not paying attention to things. And so I could see why there'd be a lot of frustration and a lot of just like myths that come up. It's like your metabolism is slow. And it's like, no, I don't think it's metabolism. I think it's most likely the dang caramel macchiatos. So that is what I want to debunk. I just want to debunk this absolute bullshit that I see popping up in the Facebook feed where it's like, try this meal and it'll just completely flip your liver upside down and just make it awesome again. It's like, no, your liver does liver things. Your body can cleanse whatever you throw it its way. But if you are having too many calories, your body cannot just erase them or delete them. And in order to be mindful of it, you simply have to prepare foods that align with your goals. And for a lot of people, their goals should be getting stronger to improve their quality of life, to give them more energy, to allow them to go on long walks without feeling winded. If they got to move somebody, they can like put their hand up and be like, yeah, I can move that couch. Because a lot of people, you ask them to move a couch and they have to opt out because their body can't do it. And this is me, someone who has moved couches about 42 times in the last 2 years. So I feel qualified to talk about who moves couches and who doesn't, because I've been moving a lot of couches these days. Anyways, rant aside, we're going to move on to the next question here. So next question is, can you discuss the connection between gut health and mental health? Now, I'm not going to get into the weeds on this. This is going to go back to, if we, let's say you set a challenge for yourself, and the challenge was you are going to prepare yourself at home 3 meals a day for the next 2 weeks. And if you were like, do you think this will make a big difference in my mental health and my gut health? I would be like, yes, yes, it will. The way that you might choose to do this, you can actually use ChatGPT. I'm going to give you some insider secrets here. You may know that I work as one of the coaches on A-Team Fitness. Now, not long ago, we actually put out a webinar where we taught everybody how to meal plan their meals using ChatGPT. The way that we did this is we set the scene. We introduced the person who we were curating these meals for. And the way that you can do that is, let's say you've got your calorie target. And calorie target is generally based off of your age, your weight, your height, your activity level, your work life, whether you are a mail delivery person or you work a desk job, you're going to describe that amount of activity and it's going to give you a calorie recommendation. Quite commonly, you can see a calorie recommendation between 1,700 or 2,400 for females. And maybe you might see something between 2,400 and 3,200 for males. But it's always, 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 always going to be context specific. So if you ever needed more clarity or more context, that's where you could reply to the email that you get when you get this podcast or reach out to me on social media. But all that aside, when you're going through ChatGPT, you're going to say that this is such and such a person with a calorie goal of this, and the macronutrient spread is, and it's going to equate to 100%. So in some cases, it might just be 35% protein, 35% carbohydrates, and 30% fats. And sometimes it's flipped the other way, and it just kind of depends on what the person's needs are, whether they're looking to have more energy or whether they're looking to increase their muscle mass, or whether they are looking to just change their body composition. Now, I tend to lean towards protein in most cases, but there will be situations where if the person is vegan, or maybe the person just simply does not tolerate protein in the same way, like they can't have whey protein, or they have trouble eating that much lean meat, And so maybe their goal, they're just getting to 70% of their goal and they don't, just don't eat that much protein. That's where we would increase the other macronutrient. All that aside, then you are going to ask ChatGPT to structure you a meal plan for the week, and it's going to give them, we would take their protein goal and we would divide that by four, or we would give it instructions to spread the macronutrient target across the day. And if it gave us something like mushrooms in one of the recipes, we'd be like, I don't like mushrooms. And then it revises it and it updates it. If we said, can you give me the specific quantities of each recipe? It's going to update it. It's going to give you like the measurements. You can also, let's say it gives you the recipes for the whole week, you can get it to organize it in a table. Or you can get it to, based on the recipes it's provided for like 5 to 7 days, you can get it to provide you a grocery list itemized by section and quantity. And if you're really feeling creative, there are instances where you can check inventory on certain grocery store websites based on your grocery list. And people who get super high level nerdy, they can just go right down the rabbit hole with this one. But all this to say is that this is a way that you can kind of tweak your plan for the week and come up with something constructive, something that's fun. You can come up with new ways to make pizza. You can overcome some dietary restrictions you may have, like if you're celiac and you genuinely have to avoid gluten. There are ways that you can get suggestions for modified recipes just to give yourself a start. And there are ways that you can just be inspired so that you're not cooking the same thing all the time. Maybe you don't like any of the recipes, you just ask it to refresh it. But all of this to say that I think learning to cook is profoundly impactful. And now that we've discussed these first series of questions, I'm actually going to bring this episode to a close. And I'm going to continue on these questions for the next episode. I want to get us into sort of a flow where we are used to expecting episodes on Chasing Common Ground. I'm in contact with a bunch of people who will be on the show. I'm going to keep it very varied. There's going to be some people who are like into fitness, not in the industry. Some people into fitness in the industry. Some people into jiu-jitsu. Some people into strength training. It's going to be very varied. I'm going to be bringing back a lot of people who are close friends of mine, and I'm going to be getting creative with some of the episodes as well, just in the subjects we talk about, how we intro them, the discussions that we have, how we format things to keep things interesting. So if you enjoy this, please share it with a friend. The best way that you can share it is if you screenshot it, tag me at Christian Little on Instagram, or if you're on Facebook, you can find my page. I think I've got a business page called Chris Little, and just share it with somebody that you think might actually like this conversational question answers type of episode, or perhaps there's an episode from the past that you think that they'd enjoy. Pass it on to them, because that truly is what helps the show grow. It's kind of like the referral network in a business. When a friend believes in you, or like one of your clients, somebody in your community, somebody that you've helped, when they validate the person putting out the information, it builds a level of trust, a level of buy-in that wouldn't otherwise exist if I'm just like standing on my soapbox being like, listen to my podcast, it's just me talking about myself all the time. So all that aside, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.